Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's guest is Gene Dodaro, Chief Operating Officer of the U.S. General Accounting Office. And joining me in our conversation is Pat McNamee, also a PwC partner. Well, Gene, let me continue with your career, because before we went to break, you were in the middle of describing the positions you've held and your various experiences.
In the early 1980s, this major block grant study was an experiment in new federalism, really on behalf of the federal government. And there was a lot of interest on behalf of the Congress as to the recipients of federal assistance under these 100 categorical programs that were folded into 8 block grant programs in the healthcare arena, social services, community services, low-income energy assistance, et cetera. And we had received multiple requests, so we created an interdisciplinary team in GAO and looked nationally at many states across the nation and local governments on how they were carrying out their new responsibilities and found them to be handling their responsibilities very responsibly. And we had made some recommendations for some increased reporting requirements, but that was a major turning point in the federal relations with state and local government. Following that, I was involved in another pioneering effort at GAO to begin looking at the entire management operations of individual departments and agencies. At this point in time in the 1980s, we began seeing recurring problems in our audits of individual departments and agencies and felt we weren't getting to the root causes of the problems. So we launched this new type of work that we did where we would work with the top leadership team of individual departments and agencies, look at their planning structures, their strategic focus on the agencies, look at performance management, their personnel approaches to carrying out the work, and really found a lot of serious deficiencies at the departments and agencies. I led studies at the Internal Revenue Service. We did actually management studies of the Office of Management and Budget and the Executive Office of the President, the Office of Personnel Management, Labor Department, Social Security Administration, et cetera. And really the common findings of these management reviews helped lead to the creation of the Government Performance and Results Act, because we found an absence of strategic planning, performance measures in the individual agencies, and it added to the discussion and the genesis of that legislation later on. Following that experience, which lasted several years, I was asked to go to the Accounting and Financial Management Division in GAO, and there, at that point in time, the Chief Financial Officers Act was being passed in 1990, and that led to increased responsibilities for the GAO. So I helped at that time change GAO's workforce around to accept these new responsibilities, and then I became the Assistant Comptroller General in charge of our accounting and information management work at GAO. And in that capacity, I led the first ever audit of the federal government's consolidated financial statements, which began in fiscal year 1997 and 1998, and they continue today. This was a major achievement. The federal government was the last major segment of our economy to really impose itself to the management discipline of a financial audit. And so this was a really big effort to mobilize and work with inspector generals across the government to basically help them carry out their responsibilities and GAOs to do these audits. And we worked very closely with chief financial officers across government as well. And in that capacity, also was responsible for GAO's work in the year 2000 computing challenge, and also looking at major IT investments and working with the Congress and the administration to help shape the Clinger-Cohen Act, which put in place chief information officers across the government as well. I've been in my current position now as chief operating officer for GAO for the last year, and I've led efforts to put in place a strategic planning process for GAO. We've just issued a strategic plan and our first annual performance plan and accountability report, so we're trying to lead by example. And that we evaluate how other agencies are implementing the Government Performance and Results Act. So we're, going forward and producing and complying with the Act, even though that we're not covered by the Act.
I know one of your areas of responsibility in GAO, Gene, is meeting visitors from foreign countries and working with your counterparts in other governments. Can you tell us a little bit about GAO's international role and the recent international conference that you attended?
Few people know about the longstanding involvement of GAO in the international arena, and this dates back to Comptroller General Elmer Stotz, who really started a training program whereby developing countries in particular would send representatives to GAO for a 4 or 5 month study course to learn the basics of auditing. And in fact, in the 20 years since that program's been in existence, we've graduated about 300 people, and more than a dozen have gone on to actually become the Auditor General in their particular country. There's also an organized effort of close to 180 countries around the world where we work with counterpart agencies who are in effect the GAO of their particular country to share experiences, to develop common standards, and basically there's a commitment on the part of this international organization to help developing countries, and it's particularly useful now in working with Eastern European countries who are beginning to establish democratic forms of government. So we provide a lot of technical assistance, support, and help. And with the globalization of economies, enterprises, and government processes now across the country, we foresee that this good investment we've put in working with our counterparts across the country, it will become even more important as we have to work to look at issues that transcend boundaries and government boundaries, particularly in the financial markets and institutions area. Healthcare is now becoming a global issue as well. And so this has been a good investment, and GAO is very well known and looked to as a source of leadership in the international auditing arena.
One of your recent activities has been the reorganization of GAO. Could you tell us about that reorganization and how GAO is now organized?
Yes, this is a major change for us. We've made many changes and improvements over the years, but this is a fundamental realignment of GAO. It's being done to provide us more alignment with our strategic plan that we've worked very closely with the Congress in shaping. GAO also has had a significant downsizing during the 1990s, late 1990s, going from an organization of roughly 5,500 people to an organization now of almost 3,300 people. So we've looked at our field structure. We've streamlined the field offices and are in the process of closing some now. At headquarters, we've also moved to flatten the organization. We've eliminated divisions, which were the major operating units of GAO structure, and have reduced the number of areas from 31 issue areas of the government to 11, in effect flattening the organization considerably.
Okay, great. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.